Okay, from the beginning, from Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, for the next blot, are the sugyas of Bishalakim. And there's pretty much all the sugyas of Bishalakim are in this small segment of Gemara. So I'd like to do over these 3 weeks until Shavuos, is talk about some of the, there have been extraordinary controversies regarding the halachas of Bishalakim. I don't mean political, but halachic controversies and differences between Hefsherim. And I'd like to share with you, I guess each week, at least one of the controversial issues and what the Shakla Vitaria is. So although the Lama Zayin Mabez is not mostly about Bishalakum, only starts on the bottom, I nevertheless want to get into the sugya. Now for the background, there's a stira in Rashi. Why did they ask for Bishalakum? Alamin Hey Amid Beis, Rashi says that Bishalakum is also Mishum Chasnus. The Lamed Hei Amid Beis that introduced Bishalakum, so Rashi said Bishalakum is the same as Afiyasakum and the Sevyayin, that they also Mishum Chasnus. The same thing here, they also Mishum Chasnus. Then Rashi comes along at the top of Lamed Chesamid Aleph, and there Rashi says that they asked it, the top Rashi says, because you can't trust Gaim to cook, they're going to put in a treifa ingredient. Mishum Dover Tameh. So Pashas is a steer in Rashi. There are two different reasons for Bishalakum. One is Mishum Chasna, so one is Mishum Dover Tameh. So the top Tosis of Lamed Ches is bothered by the Kasha, and he seems to say that both reasons hold true. Tosis doesn't answer the Kasha. He says, Pirish Rashi, Mishum Dachayashem Dover Tameh. So there are two reasons for Bishalakum. That's not the same as Afiyasakum. Afiyasakum is Mishum Chasnus. Bishalakum, we have two distinct reasons. One is out Chasnus, and one he may add treifa ingredients. Now there are a lot of nafkaminas. Bread traditionally was always kosher. In the time of Chazal, you could buy bread by a guy. If you find bread in the street, you could eat it. If it wasn't a problem of afiyasakum, of kashrus, I don't know why bread was always made flour and water, and it was always kosher. It was always considered kosher. And nowadays, it's not. My father told me, my father came to America, he didn't have coffee to get across the ocean. It was in 48. So the one of the U.S. Navy boats had a sign, help wanted. They needed two assistant bakers. So he had two young men that just got out of the camps. So they applied for assistant baker. He didn't know a thing about baking, but to be an assistant baker, you just have to do what the baker tells you to do. So they went. That's where my father came across the ocean, him and I think the other one, is from Ostrasse's bakery, you know, they learned on the way, and then each one, you know, went into the baking business. My father told me, he got on the boat, he told him, we'll just eat bread the whole time. Bread is kosher. He said he was lucky that he was in the boat, he was in the baking places, there was lard in the bread. They couldn't eat the bread. He said, fortunately, they had on the boat matzahs put away for Pesach, for the Jewish sailors, so they ate matzahs the whole way. I don't think it was shmur matzah, but you know, they ate matzahs all the whole way across the ocean. But the assumption was always that bread was kosher. And today it's not. Why? I have no idea. Taste change? I don't know. Bread was always flour and water, and that was it. Now, be that as it may, the Shulchan Aruch actually says that on Pesach, you could buy dough from a guy and make matzahs. It says the Shulchan Aruch. Kind of batzik min ha'akum. It was flour and wood, even for Pesach. It's a sense of Shulchan Aruch. You don't need shomer throughout the other days. Anyway, getting back. Pasakum mishum chasnus. Bishulakum, Rashi says, two reasons. Because of chasnus and because of achshash of hadavar tamin. Nafkamina, Pesachei Tshuva says, even those who are mekel by Pasakum, by a fraya yid, because there's no chasnus by fraya yid, but Bishalakum, if it's Mishum Dover Tamei, so a Fraya Yid also you have to be Machmir on Bishalakum by a Yid who's not from. That's what the Pesachei Tshuva writes as a Nafkamin. Now, in the lumdis of this whole topic, there's the Aruch HaShulchan I gave out, there are other Tshuvas about it. about why there's two reasons for this and one reason for that. What I want to do is I want to talk to you about the main tumult in the kashrus field regarding Bishul HaKum. When you learn Amichas Amar Aleph, you'll see the connection. There's a three way machlokes in the definition of Bishul HaKum. Sometimes I get a call. Somebody calls me from a restaurant. He tells me that the restaurant, the sign says Bishul HaKum Leminik Svar, Bishul Yehudi Leminik Svardin. So they ask me if an Ashkenazi can rely on it. So the answer is the Svardin Bar Mor Machmir. There are three shittas. The Mechaber holds that a Jew has to put the food on the fire. It's not enough if a Jew turns on the fire. A Yid has to actually put the food on the fire. Heshi Kallis here says that in the Chassidish restaurants in Williamsburg, the Mexicans make the French fries. Svardim can't eat that. The Mexicans make the French fries. They put the French fries into the oil for Beis Yosef. That's not Bishul Yisrael. Unless they were cooked before, I'm saying. If they put potatoes on for cooking, so that's Bishul HaKum according to the meaning of the Svardim. And that's an issue. In Tarvadas, somebody goes to Beis Yosef, can't eat breakfast in the kitchen. The eggs, I don't know, today when I was in the dorm, Rabbi Talansky, Oliver Shalom, used to come down in the morning, turn on all the fires, and the guy used to come in and put up the eggs. For us, it's okay, because we go into Ramah. The Mechaber Shita is a Jew has to cook it. The Ramah Shita is it's enough for a Jew to turn on the fire. And that's the minig of the Hechsher organizations. So we're not chayshish a guy will do something if he has no benefit, just to turn it off and on. As a practical matter, in a busy kitchen, you do have to be chayshish that it boiled over and put out the fire. So that's chashash, but I'll go one step at a time. The Ramah, which all the kashrus organizations that I know, unless they advertise Bishul Yisrael, Leminik Svaradim, the Ramah holds that it's enough to turn on the fire. There's the Issevehetter. Issevehetter is brought as the Yeshayimrim in the Ramah. He says it's enough if the fire came from a Jew's fire. That's called the pilot light heter. In other words, if a Jew turned on the pilot light and a guy took a fire from the pilot light and did it, it goes over. The fact that the Jew lit the pilot light goes over to the other things that are cooked as well. So the Issevei Heter has the biggest kula. It goes this extreme. The Beis Yosef says the Jew has to cook it. Ramah says the Jew turns on the fire. The Issevei Heter says it's enough even if the pilot light was turned on by a Jew.
Yeah.
If a Jew adds to the fire, it's for sure a heter. And we'll see in a second. It's enough. I'll tell you why in a second. Now, the pilot light heter was the old standard in the kashrus organizations in America. And really, it's a very shvach heter to rely on. The Shach writes in Sukkot Neches that it has no makar really. And the Gemara on Neches, which you'll learn next week, seems to contradict it, and the Shas Loshen is that it's mutav shiushaygin v'alyu mazidin. It's not a real heter, but kashrus organizations in America back in the early years of the kashrus organizations relied on it, and some organizations never got out of that sort of Middle Ages and still rely on the pilot light heter, which is really a very shvacha heter. Yes, Rabbanim are involved in kashrus today, and they'll tell you, oh, that heksha, they rely on the pilot light heter, which is today is below the standard of all the heksha organizations that we know, and typically don't rely on it. What is the controversy? And the pilot light heter, like I say, is an old controversy. I think it's fair to say that the good heksherim don't rely on it. The controversy, and this was something Rebelsky happened to feel very strongly about, and on Lahachmir, the controversy is the following. in commercial stoves, let's talk about stovetops first. In the commercial stovetops, the pilot light is not like in your house. Today, you don't even have pilot lights in your house. But even the pilot lights we grew up with, there's a pilot light separate from the fire. And when you turn the fire, you know, it pulls the fire. In the commercial stoves today, you have the round disc with all the holes where the fire comes out of. The pilot light is in the center of that. In other words, when you put a pan on, it's cooking on the pilot light. The pilot light actually contributes to the cooking. It's not like the old pilot lights, which didn't contribute. The question is, what's the din with that pilot light, which contributes to the cooking, but it can't cook? It's a very, it's just a single fire. It can't cook. Does that pilot light count to make it Bishul Yisrael? Now, if you hold the answer is yes, that's not a pilot light, that's a fire itself. So Rav Heineman, in a famous practice, which I think they discontinued, said it's enough if you have a light bulb in an oven, and a Jew turns on the light bulb gives off heat. So that was his light bulb heter for large commercial establishments where they have, where the oven is a room. You roll in a rack into a room. Usually they have four racks that turn. And that the pilot light, what's the difference? The pilot light also gives heat. And that was Rav Heineman's head to the pilot light, the light bulb head to that he held. Rav Belsky tainted that it's not true, the light bulb, besides the light bulb, even when the fire is in the middle, Rav Belsky said that's only good according to the Issa V'Heter. This about to hold, the pilot light is good, that's also good. But a fire that can't cook, that doesn't contribute at all, I mean, theoretically it contributes ultimately to the cooking, but it can't cook, he held that's also only mutter according to the Issa V'Heter. It says, it's enough if a Jew throws in a twig. Yeah, once you have a fire that could cook, if a Jew throws in a twig, so you have a fire that could cook, part of the fire that's cooking, it cooked more quickly because the Jew threw in a twig. Rabowski held that it can't be the original fire, and that heter is only a sort of a heter, and we don't rely on the pilot light heter anymore. And now, there's a lot of shaklavataria about this, under the particulars. It's not just not the setting for it. There are difficulties. The Akasha's on the way Rabowski learns, and answers that he gave to whatever it was. This is a shaklavataria that went on, well, I saw in the yeshiva for an extended period. So this is a very practical thing with your ovens. If you have an oven in the house, where's the pilot light? The stovetop in the house is somewhere else. In the oven, the pilot light is in the oven. It contributes to the heat. If a Jew cooks in your house, if a guy cooks in your house in the oven, according to this of a heter, you have a pilot light heter. But what about Lididan, that we don't rely on this of a heter? Is that original pilot light in the oven enough to make it ois a problem? That is totally in this disagreement, which, as I said, Belsky felt very strongly about on the Lahachma side, besides the light bulb. The light bulb, anyway, many were mefak fake, that something that's not, the whole thing is Rishon Chasnus, you know, the light bulb doesn't give any perception of cooking to anybody. And the light bulb had to, I think, it was discontinued, maybe they never even started actually using it, but it was proposed as a heter. Why does a twig help? Why does a twig help for chasnus? It says a twig helps because when you come to eat it, and you tell the guy, "Can I eat it?" He says, "Yeah, yeah." The rabbi threw in a twig. That's already helps the chasnus. It's a boundary. It's a geder. If the fact that you need the Jew to throw in a twig, a Jew to do something, in order to be able to eat the food the guy cooked, that itself is a boundary. It's a wall. I don't know. I've had this. I've had this, people have called with Shilas, the guy cooked in the house, what do? Do we have to kasher a pot? So I asked him, you have a pile of light? Oh yeah, we have a pile of light. So who turned on the pile of light? They don't know. For all they know, the technician who installed the thing turned on. So Baruch Hashem, when you clean for Pesach, usually it goes out. And we clean. So some people clean for Pesach also, the Mexicans turn on the light, but if the Jew turns it on again, then it helps. But anyway, this is a double, really, Shiloh, the pile of light heter. And on top of that, the extent to which we, who are not Semech on the pile of light, the extent to which we'd be Makel, and this is, like I say, an ongoing controversy. What? The original fire. That's the question. The original fire is so low. What's the name of the coffee shop that has donuts? Dunkin' Donuts. The Dunkin' Donuts commissary here, when they had the Chafkei Hechsher years ago, this goes back to 95, for a brief time they had the Chafkei, there was a Rabbi Dickman there who gave the Hechsher. What he did is he drilled a screw into there was a dial that heated up the oil for the donuts. Now the problem with donuts is it's bishalakum, everything else is after you have heter or paspalter. Even if you hold the heter or paspalter by you eat commercial, you eat entomans, you eat everybody, it's the old paspalter, you have to be careful with donuts. Donuts are a bishal issue, which is a totally separate shaila. There's no heter or paspalter. Question is if donuts are considered oil al shulchan malachim or not. So what they did is they drilled a screw into the dial that the dial could never be turned all the way off. So at the end of the day, when they turned it off, it would hit the screw, it would never go totally off, it would leave a very low flame. The question of today, they don't have it. Today they rely that whoever gives the hashah today relies there's no bishalakam on donuts. Be that as it may, the question is whether that low flame turned on by a yid is adequate or is not adequate. Okay, this is part of the Tumul, and I guess it's enough for today to tell you that it is part of the Tumul.